You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kateman, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful friend to small business owners across the country. Today, we are welcoming slash preparing to learn from Chris Emden, owner of Mad Wraps. Chris, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing very well. So Mad Wraps, can you tell us just essentially what that is?
Sure. We produce graphics and films that we apply to windows, walls, floors, vehicles, and a variety of other surfaces and creative ideas that
sure.
you may have.
Sure. That's awesome. And how long have you been in business?
We've had Mad Wraps for 10 years.
Have you really? That's awesome. Mid-10-year mark.
Yep, 10 years, and I worked for my dad at his sign company for 15 years before that.
Oh, so wow, okay.
Been doing this for a while.
Nice. You have some solid experience in that.
Yes, thanks.
And now, vinyl, that's changed a lot, I imagine, or even, it's got to be a relatively new product. We're talking the past 20 years?
Yeah, I grew up watching my grandpa and other people that worked for the sign shop there, hand letter with paints and all that.
Oh, sure.
Watched it all change into our first vinyl cutters to
sure.
the printers, and now we have outdoor durable prints that'll last a long time outdoors.
So sure, that's awesome.
Changed a lot over just the last, you know, 25 years.
Sure. I remember interning for a guy, I think when I was in high school, and I worked at, he had a sign shop, and I think half his business was doing race cars.
Oh, sure.
With the vinyl letters and stuff like that. But they were not, we'll just say it was a long time ago. This was before you could actually print on vinyl. Or before that was common?
Sure. Yeah, you did a lot of plotting and yep. cutting and weeding of the vinyl.
Yeah.
And then you layer up several layers.
Yeah,
to,
so he,
to make
he would.
The design.
That's exactly it. So he was yep. he was famous in that market essentially because he would add the relief for the different colored vinyls so it looked like the numbers were three dimensional. Where now you can just print that out and it's anybody can do it kind of thing. But back in the day, he had the eye for it and he could put the different shading, the different reliefs, and the different color of vinyls. To make your two look like a three-dimensional two.
Yeah, it was more like an art form back
yeah,
then.
It was crazy.
Cutting, and some of them would even hand paint stuff on top
mm-hmm,
of it
mm-hmm.
to combine the two medias.
Yeah, so it's interesting because when I was with him, they were just getting into some of the fancier plotters, and then over the course of time, a printer was released, and that was, holy cow, this is magical.
Sure.
And they're stupid money. Stupid. I imagine they're still expensive, but back in the day, I want to say there were six figures. For this thing that could print on vinyl and cut it and all that
yeah,
jazz.
Yeah, a lot of the initial printers were pretty expensive, and you'd be surprised how far the cost has come down on that technology.
Oh,
now.
I bet.
You can get into a printer for a lot less than, you know, a fraction of the price of what they originally
sure,
cost.
Sure, sure.
And then the durability is much better, too.
Mm-hmm. And I remember him shopping for software, trying to figure out, he was essentially using some form of AutoCAD or something like that.
Oh, sure.
Which, that the learning curve on that for me was crazy, because it was all green screen.
Yep.
Psycho, and then I remember going to this trade show with him, and you're seeing all the different software options that they had that helped do essentially what he was trying to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of different software packages out there depending on what exactly you want to do, but mm-hmm. now they're a lot more user-friendly, easier to use and produce, and just
yeah.
let anybody can get a decent-looking
right.
print out of a printer these days without
mm-hmm.
a lot of experience.
That's awesome. So what made you decide to go off on your own in business? You're with your dad.
Sure.
Right? Talking 10 years ago, I imagine.
Yep, he had an opportunity to sell the company. And I had grown up working in the business and kind of found my niche in the wraps and the
mm-hmm.
films and the printing. And that was a part of the business that the other company didn't want to buy.
Oh.
And it worked out well that, you know, I wanted to work for myself and
sure.
keep going with what I'd been developing there at our sign company
mm-hmm.
and turn that into Mad Wraps.
Nice.
We primarily started out doing vehicle wraps.
Sure.
But we also do a lot of other interior graphics and packages
right.
For the inside of your business.
Okay. When you say interior, you're not necessarily talking about inside of a car.
Nope, inside your business.
Inside
so,
your
like environmental graphics is
okay.
the, kind of the trade term.
Okay.
And that could be anything from wall murals to advertising graphics on your glass to floor graphics to
oh, nice.
Just conference room walls and windows.
Okay.
Just stuff to make things look nicer
interesting.
Even.
Okay, so when you say floor graphics, are you talking in the carpet or rugs? Or
yeah, it could be on tile, carpet. Concrete.
Oh, wow.
A variety of different services that
oh.
we can cover.
Oh, that's crazy. So tell me about that. Is this a painting thing or printing? Or
They're all prints, just a different type of vinyl or adhesive, depending
okay.
on the situation. And some of the softer prints, like on carpet or something like that, would be a shorter-term application.
Sure.
Or if we put something on concrete, that could last, you know, years on a concrete floor.
Huh.
Just depends on the wear and
that's crazy.
What you need.
Sure. Sure. So you were talking to me initially, I guess right before we started, in regards to vehicle wraps. Mm-hmm. Can we go into that a little bit?
Sure.
Because vehicle wraps to me are on the verge of a must-have for any business that has a vehicle on the road. For the most part, I imagine there's some vehicles that maybe the drivers are too bad that you wouldn't want that necessarily.
Exactly. But actually, putting a wrap on your work vehicle makes your holds your drivers more accountable because your name's out there.
Absolutely.
They can track them down.
Yeah.
But as far as outdoor advertising, it's said that vehicle wraps are your most inexpensive form of outdoor advertising.
Oh, absolutely.
Compared to billboards and other media outdoors like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you pay for the advertising space, so you pay for it once, and mm-hmm. then it lasts, you know, many years for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to a quality company, that wrap's going to look great for you for many, many years down the road.
Up to
10 years they're lasting now.
Yep. Yeah, I had you guys wrap a couple of vehicles for one of my other businesses, mm-hmm. and I swear that helped me sell my company.
Oh, great. Because
it was just people noticed those cars running around. I got comments even after I sold the business. I would get people asking me if I still have those cars.
Oh, sure.
Like, it was interesting that people just, they see that, and the wrap was, it was good looking wrap. It was pretty simple in the information that it gave. Just give the highlights. It wasn't crazy psycho or anything like that.
Yeah, those are great points to have on a vehicle wrap. Something simple, mm-hmm. easy to read, and you're just reinforcing the brand out there when
right.
they're driving around town. And
mm-hmm.
and even the subtle impression that it makes, I think they add up over time, and people then recognize your brand.
Oh, absolutely.
And you look like a bigger, better company.
Yeah, it builds trust in the business that it's not just some fly-by-night.
Exactly. Yep.
That I just have this,
around and then,
right, my rusty little truck with no phone number or anything on there, yep. one that's in magic marker on the door or something.
Yeah, especially in sales, presentation makes mm-hmm. a big impact, and having a professional-looking vehicle can really make a difference.
Yeah, I saw what the cost was for a billboard, and I thought, you compare that to a wrap, and a wrap is essentially, you're on the same highway. So I used to joke with my technicians that you can totally get pulled over and I'll pay for the ticket the first time, because now you have this billboard essentially on the side of the road with flashing lights by it.
Oh, sure.
Which you have the whole highway slowing down to look at.
Yep.
So I'm like, that's free advertising,
exactly.
right? I'll pay the, you know, a couple hundred dollars for the ticket, but don't go crazy with it because then insurance makes
That'll
up the difference,
up.
Right thing.
Yep.
But I used to, it was fun joking with my technicians about that because I'm like, this is a billboard, man, regardless of where you're at.
Sure. Yeah, a lot of times what you pay for to have a billboard on the Beltline for 1 month will mm-hmm. wrap your entire vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
And that can last you, you know, several years.
Yep. That's awesome. So were you in that with your dad's sign business then?
It was always part of the sign business.
Okay.
It was lettering and graphics.
Sure.
And that was something when I joined the company back in 94,
mm-hmm.
we had done a lot of vinyl plotting and had just been getting into printing.
Sure.
And then I had moved into that department and kind of grew from there.
Yeah.
And kind of found my niche there. I'd spend a lot of time working on our crane trucks where you're out working year round.
Oh, sure.
In the cold and in the snow and digging
right.
through the frost and
sure.
working out there when it's 100 and some degrees out.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing vinyl, and it was something you could only do when it was the temperature was right. So
sure.
it was comfortable to work.
And nice.
Thought, oh, this is maybe a route I would like to
sure.
head down a little further and explore,
sure.
and found it to be rewarding. And, mm-hmm. and you're always working on interesting projects, and it's, you know, there's some difficult situations, but nothing that's really too, you know, nasty as far
right.
as weather and things to deal with as far as that goes.
Right. So without going crazy down this tangent, you used to work on crane trucks?
Sure.
Like
yep, I used to work.
Mechanical?
To install, well, we used to install signs off of them, so we
oh,
gotcha.
Lift
us up into the air.
Sure.
Haul all of our stuff for digging holes and putting up signs. So,
oh wow,
it was digging holes in the ground or
sure.
wiring channel letters from behind up on the backs of the walls.
You okay, know,
those are all different examples.
Sure.
Of working at heights there.
Interesting. So when you moved on, essentially took over that portion of your dad's business when the other company bought the rest of his business, did you have to buy a bunch of equipment?
No. One thing that I saw working in the general sign industry is that you're doing a lot of different projects or items,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's making a sign or letters or, you know, vinyl cutting and plotting. And then we had vehicles and cranes and all this overhead.
Sure.
So I found a thought by going into vehicle wraps and
mm-hmm.
digital printing, we could lower our overhead, kind of streamline our process and just concentrate on a few certain items
sure.
that are growing.
Sure.
Like the wraps and the digital printing and
mm-hmm.
all these different films that are coming out now to go on different surfaces like walls and windows and
yeah.
tables and that sort.
Right.
So it just was kind of a natural progression that I was able to split it off into his own business. We bought a laminator, a printer,
mm-hmm.
and had a vehicle, and we got going.
Okay. I suppose they'd have a shop.
Yeah. Even in the beginning there, I worked out of my house for a little bit And then I ended up sharing a shop with another company for the first year.
Okay.
And then after that, we moved into our own space and
sure.
kept on going.
That's awesome. So it's smart to just shoestring started essentially when you first start out. Get going, prove that you can, I guess I want to say, one, handle it. Maybe that's not the right phrase, but make sure that owning a business is for you and that getting customers is something that you can do and all that jazz.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And then build upon your success essentially.
Yep, and a lot of the ways that my dad taught me to work was to do a good job and, mm-hmm. and you know, you get referrals and
sure.
return work and just keep building from there. So
mm-hmm.
Working at the sign company for several years, we had a good customer base going.
Sure.
And we're able to just keep building on that. Going
nice.
Out on my own, I knew I could have, I'd have enough customers to keep us going. And then as the economy came back around, because it was 2008.
Oh, sure. perfect time, yep, right?
Business would start to pick up again, and I would be the brand that would be around that
sure.
came through those times. And,
mm-hmm.
and we could start to continue to grow and pick up more customers.
Sure.
There.
Sure. That's awesome. So how do you like owning your own business?
It's fun and challenging, and it can be tough all,
sure.
you know, all at the same time.
Sure.
So, you know, working for yourself has its rewards, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, you think you get more free time, but really you're working a lot more than you think.
Right.
And then you're trying to plan for everybody else's free time and plan around that. And,
right.
And plan how to grow the company and,
mm-hmm.
and continue to change and
mm-hmm.
gain new customers.
Sure. So 10 years, I imagine your business has evolved a little bit.
Yeah, we started out primarily as a vehicle wrap company because that was kind of the new niche to fill where
sure.
there wasn't a lot of, you know, competition.
Right.
And now, you know, a lot of people can get printers and jump into the business and print a graphic and stick it on a vehicle.
Sure.
So it's gotten more competitive
mm-hmm.
on the vehicle wrap end of things, but there's other areas that we've grown into, like interior graphics and environmental graphics, wall murals, floor graphics.
Sure.
We've also added window tinting services for commercial and residential properties for your
okay.
house as well.
Sure.
And that's another product that's just another film that we apply to glass,
mm-hmm.
which is something that we've been doing for many years.
Sure.
And just started to get more requests on window tinting. So
huh.
something I looked into, we found out that 3M didn't have the presence in the Madison market like they wanted.
Sure.
So it was a good fit. We already were set up to install that kind of film.
Yeah.
It was a matter of learning a few new techniques and running with it from there.
That's awesome. Huh. So was there, I guess the skills essentially carried over from doing the vehicle wraps.
Yeah.
Or was there a training that was involved?
There was a little bit of a learning curve for doing glass work, but we'd already been doing vehicles versus glass work. They're a little different.
Sure. Glass is probably easier.
Yeah, it's flat. It's easier.
Sure.
So then just learning a few new products and how to sell the tint and the different products there.
Sure.
We'd already been installing a lot of similar films to glass already, so
mm-hmm.
there's a natural extension on to what we do.
Sure. Was it tough to bring that to market, like to get some of your existing commercial clients to buy into that or to reach out to new clients?
That's kind of the challenge now, but through 3M, we're listed on their website under window tinting, so we get some referrals through there. We work with other local window tint companies that
okay.
don't do the services that we provide, so they
sure.
only work on vehicles,
mm-hmm.
and then so we network together with them. And
oh,
then,
very cool.
Then just working in with other companies and letting customers know that, hey, we now do this.
Sure.
And I think the demand is out there. It's just there's not a lot of companies in Madison doing a good job of serving the window tint industry right now.
Sure.
So a lot of times we'll make a call on someone who's requested a quote, and we'll be the only person that replied or only company that replied out of four companies. So that makes it a little easier for us to
sure.
sell as well. Plus,
sure.
we're selling 3M tint and their brand, so that brings another level of quality to
right.
the equation.
It's not just some
well.
Chinese something or other.
Yep, it's a well-known brand that's respected,
sure.
and
mm-hmm.
you know the product's going to work and last.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So I want to point out here the pivot that you did, because that's so awesome. How essentially the market, I don't want to say got flooded with the vehicle wrap stuff, but there's certainly competition came.
Sure.
Right, which is all right, because that means that somebody sees that you're making money at it.
Yep.
But then essentially, I imagine people are driving the price of that down because as competition increases, price generally goes down.
Yep, exactly.
Which means that profit goes down, and maybe the businesses that come in there guns blazing think they can do something cheaper and better are wrong. But initially, when they come in there guns blazing, the customers don't know any different.
Sure.
Because they're essentially trying to commoditize it as best they can.
Yep, everybody's trying to get the work and compete.
Sure.
And they may not fully understand what it takes to do a good quality vehicle wrap.
Mm-hmm.
The reason our prices are sometimes a little higher is because we spend more time on a job.
Sure.
And we take the time to make sure the wrap is going to last.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not just trying to get it out the door and make a buck and move on to the next customer.
Right, right.
We want to make sure it's going to work out. They're going to be happy and
mm-hmm.
they're going to come back and they're going to send other referrals to us.
Sure.
So we were always looking for opportunities. The same thing with my dad's company. We're always looking for ways to either become more efficient or other markets that complement what we do that we can get into. So the window tint was just a natural extension of what we do. And
sure.
Just another area where we felt we could make an impact and serve the market.
Right. That's awesome. So have the competition that came in, have most of them stuck around or have they kind of fizzled out?
Yeah, you see usually a few companies come in every year and they make it through summer. Then in winter they start to fizzle out.
All right.
Or they start doing jobs and undercut prices and then the customers may leave for a little while.
Sure.
And they figure out that, well, we got a better price, but the product isn't lasting as long. And then they might come back after a year or two. But
sure.
I think right now it's just the market's really gotten flooded with digital printers
and
people that are working out of their garages or small spaces and and just trying to, you know, get by and make a buck. But we're really here for the long run to serve these customers well and keep everybody happy.
Sure. Sure. That's so
And create a positive experience for them rather than having problems. So.
Right. Right. So interesting. I always tell my students, you get service, quality, and price, right? You get to pick two.
Sure.
Some people try to be all three and it's not. You can't sustain that.
No, it's you got to pick where you want to be and what's going to work for you and then follow those customers and serve them the best you can.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So let's talk about employees because I know you have some.
Sure.
And I guess I'm having a rocky time with them. Hopefully it's on the back end of the rocky times now. I'll say I had some rocky times with them.
Sure.
And I know that other businesses have and will continue to have rocky times with them. It just seems to be one of those thorns in the side of being an entrepreneur that has employees. So can you talk about any of the good and the bad in regards to dealing with employees?
Yeah, I think that's one of the more challenging aspects for any business is finding good employees and hiring the right people and then retaining them and trying to work with them and understand what their needs are.
Sure.
Which is probably one of my weaknesses there is once I get them in is really trying to understand what their needs are and what they'd like to do moving forward in the company.
Sure. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me what motivates your employees. And I looked at them and I'm like, they get a job and I pay them? Like, what more does it have to be? But realistically, people are more, I guess I need more empathy than that. Really.
Yeah. I think I'm in the same boat exactly. And just trying to understand, you know, where they're coming from and their point of view is a lot different than, you know, a business owner's point of view as well sometimes. So I got to go back to think when I worked for somebody else, you know, what did I think of that situation? And
maybe
different than what I think of now as an owner. And, you know, as an owner, you're always thinking, all right, get this done. You know, I'm not getting paid by the hour. I got to get all this done as fast as I can.
Yep.
And sometimes I feel it's important to slow down a little bit and spend a little more time with the employees and make sure they understand.
Sure.
And let them feel that you're not just trying to rush through things. You actually want everybody to do a good job. And, and I think, you know, I've done a good job so far with choosing good employees and hiring the right people. It's just finding more of those people as you grow to keep going.
Sure.
But then we've had people that have quit that I didn't expect to quit. You know, we've had designers that have stuck around for several years and all of a sudden they say they're going to take another job. But
yeah, that's crazy.
They didn't really fill me in along the road either on exactly what they were thinking. I didn't really ask the right questions either.
Sure.
But I think some of those experiences too are not necessarily bad experiences. So I've lost one or two people, but then I've learned from that process of hiring them and working with them.
Sure.
And kind of what to look for in a person that would work better with our company.
Uh-huh.
And I think some of those people I've replaced, I've actually come out, I found better people to replace them with, and it's been a positive experience in the long run. And, you know, just like with anything in life, it's a learning experience. And
if
I didn't learn the first time going around, and I wouldn't have found that better person the second time around either. So.
Right. At the time, you probably hate it, but
over
the course of time, as they get replaced and the replacements get trained and stuff like that.
Yep. It's kind of finding the opportunities and then seizing them and making them more of a positive than a negative. So.
Sure. So, do you have any tips in regards to keeping employees or anything?
You know, I've always thought you just pay them well and they'll stick around, but that's not always the case either. So I think one thing I need to spend more time doing is understanding them more and what their needs are and trying to figure that out. And it's not always what I think, but spending more time talking to the employees and see what they think.
Sure, that's fair.
Makes the difference a lot of times.
That's fair. How many employees do you have now?
We're at 6 employees right now, and we need to add 1 or 2 to get us back up to full staff here for
sure. Time. Has it been tough finding some?
Yeah, it's tough to take the time to find someone properly.
Okay.
Like I've put out ads and I've done kind of half-hearted attempts, and I find that if I really put more time and effort into it up front, it pays for it in the long run.
So okay.
Spending the time to interview people properly, not just hiring the first person that seems qualified.
Sure.
Spending a little more time thinking about, you know, who I need and what I need, and not rushing to a decision.
So. Sure. That's fair. From the, I guess, the work ethic point of view, have you found that the people that you hire have a decent work ethic, or has there been challenges there?
Yeah, overall, I think, especially with some of the more established employees, people that have been around the workforce a little longer, they understand working hard a little differently, I think, than some other, than younger people. But
sure.
I think it's just the way they look at doing things sometimes, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to explain there, but I think just what the younger generation is looking for is more input, more feedback than mm-hmm. someone in the older generation, where I can just hand them off something and they seem like to be able to run with it a little better.
Sure.
But maybe it's just a different point of view or a different thought about the way you go about things.
Absolutely. I would guess that you were in a similar situation to me, or just about any small business owner, where you don't necessarily have a corporate ladder, so to speak, that's more than a couple rungs, right?
Sure.
I imagine I had, when I had a job as a printer repair technician, I used to joke with people that it was a two-rung ladder. The mm-hmm. first rung was you got hired, and the second rung was you got good at your job. And then after that, you've essentially reached the top of that job. So in order for you to advance in your career, so to speak, you have to get a different job, and not just a lateral move. You have to either find a completely different industry or find some management of some kind. But in most small businesses, there's not a ton of opportunity for management because there's not a whole lot of people to manage.
Sure. So yeah, I think it moves a little slower in a small business that way, too, because there's not that foundation there. But mm-hmm. as a growing company, we're always looking for people that can learn and then step up over time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes that doesn't happen as fast as that person may want
it
to. But we are growing and trying to add salespeople, add managers, production managers, different mm-hmm. areas like that. So I think I have positions for people to grow into,
mm-hmm.
but it may not always happen as fast as they want it to.
Sure.
Or it's just timing isn't quite right.
Sure.
Sometimes too, like with one or two people that have left, it's just the timing wasn't quite there.
Right. It's interesting that you talk about as fast as they want it to, because I had an employee that's been with me 2 months and they asked for a raise. And I'm like, you just got hired. I think you're essentially still in training.
Oh, sure.
For you to, like, where did you think this raise is going to come from? You're still costing us money. Once you start making us money, we can talk about a raise. But, like, 2 months?
Yeah, exactly. And trying to train someone to install graphics or mm-hmm. do different specialty mm-hmm. Jobs, that can take time. And you got to get them profitable first,
yep.
and then you can pay them more money. So that's something we've been struggling with. But one thing that we're doing right now is putting in a new software system that actually does a better job of tracking time and tracking jobs.
Very cool.
So then we have a report or a rating almost that we can give our employees and be like, well, here's how we're doing on the jobs.
Okay.
You're getting them done, this much faster than what we quoted. So then we have room to give you a bonus.
Sure.
Or a little extra money here
and
there.
Oh, very cool.
I'm trying to find different ways to motivate the employees into working
harder
in a way that they can actually see,
mm-hmm.
instead of just saying, yeah, if you work harder, we'll pay you more.
Right.
Well, here's your actual, rating on what you've done versus what we quoted.
So you're giving some metrics.
Yep, exactly. So that way they got something to see, and they can see a report every month on how they're doing.
Sure.
And I think that can be more inspiring, too, in getting them to work more productively because
right.
they know they're not just going to get paid by the hour. They're going to get paid
right.
on productivity
sure.
as well.
Sure.
So that's something that I've seen, especially with some of the younger people, is that they just want more feedback
right.
and something they can see or track progress on
mm-hmm.
to see that they're moving along and that they got something to relate, to every month to
it's
see
interesting.
Progress, so.
Yeah. It's almost gamifying employment to a point where they can see a number and like, oh, I want to improve that number. So I know exactly what I have to do to improve that number.
Yep.
It's not just some arbitrary, just work harder.
Yeah, like, no, okay. It's actually tied to some metrics and tied to their time and what we quoted and their actual profitability, so they can see how they're contributing to the company, which hopefully makes them feel more valuable.
Sure.
And then over time, you know, that could be their immediate feedback. Then over time, they can work towards, you know, other positions in the company if they want to become an install manager or go into sales or into something else.
But, sure.
We're all about cross-training, too. So once one person learns one job, you know, it's great to have them learn some of the other jobs related to that, or a complementary job, and, you know, maybe running the printer or doing some kind of design work or something like that, just to make them more valuable and a more well-rounded employee.
That's awesome. So let's downshift into your business growth over the course of time. So when you first started, it was you, right? Or did you have employees?
Yeah, it was just me for the first probably year to year and a half.
Okay.
And then we added a designer after that. And then as we grew, we added on a production person, someone to run the printer and help install. And then I think we added a second designer after that. And then we just started adding more crew after that.
Sure, so, sure.
You know, the first couple of years, it was probably 2 to 3 people. And then I probably got up to about 5 people within 5 to 6 years. And now is the challenge where we're trying to grow beyond the referral and word of the mouth, you know, status here, and I'm getting out to do more sales. And we really want to jump up our sales, jump up our growth, and add more people here. But that's the other challenge is, you know, you need to add people to do the work. You add the sales, and then you need more people. But then what if you don't have the sales for 1 month, and then you got all those people to keep busy.
Then you got some payroll to take care of.
Yep, so we're just trying to build it up gradually and not too fast so we don't get ourselves in trouble.
Right.
But I think with our array of products that we provide, you know, that provides us room for growth laterally as well as vertically.
Sure.
So I think adding the window tint and some of these other services will help us.
Right, absolutely. Well. So do you have a salesperson?
Nope, right now it's me. I'm trying to free up my time and let go of the production, let go of some of these other duties, and let the employees take care of that so then I can get out and do more sales. And
has it been working?
Yeah, it's a challenge. You know, I had one person hired to do window tint. And then they decided they didn't want to do window tint and quit.
Oh.
So that kind of regressed me back into doing window tinting, which cut into my time to do sales and develop other, you know, other parts of the business. So and get the new software going. So we had to put that on hold for a couple months.
Right.
So it's always jumping back and forth. And now we're in the search again to find the right person to do window tinting.
Sure.
And in the middle of that process, once I get them in, then that'll free up my time again to get back out and do new sales.
Sure.
In the meantime, you know, I'm trying to juggle all that at once.
Oh, yeah.
And keep it all going and keep everybody happy.
Sure.
And keep everybody busy, which is the important thing there. So,
right.
So, yeah, I think it's 2 steps forward and 1 step backwards sometimes.
Sure.
Hopefully not more steps backwards.
But, right.
That's what we're trying to do is...
Sure. That's the constant. I run into that with Calls on Call as well. I ran into it with Doc Jams. I see a lot of my clients. It's the same thing.
Yep.
That it's forward-ish motion, but it's not, there's always at least a step or two back at some point.
Yep. Hopefully those step backs are learning experiences as well.
Right.
You can learn and then jump ahead after that.
Right. So. And you got to think when you got 6 people working for you, if you lose one, essentially 15, 20% of your business.
Sure.
Or of your employment, right?
Yep.
So of your employee base, right? You think of if GE had that where all of a sudden like 10,000 people walked out or something like that.
Oh, sure.
That'd be a huge kick, right? But for small business owners, that's just a thing.
Yep. Make up for it. You got to push through and get it done and still keep everybody happy.
Right. You just absorb it and move on. That's awesome. Yep. So what have been some of the bigger challenges in your business in regards to, well, I guess even beyond employees and stuff like that, stuff that you didn't anticipate?
Probably a lot of it's probably personal things as well. You know, I've always enjoyed working hard and getting the work done. And being the hands-on person.
Right.
And one of the biggest adjustments or challenges for me was to let go of that and, you know, being a perfectionist, you know, you have to let employees do their own job.
Oh, sure.
And let them do a good job themselves and do it their own way.
Sure.
And I think that's one of the biggest things I've had to learn is that you can kind of guide them, but you can't, you know, tell them exactly what to do.
Right.
And then explain your goals to them and hopefully they can share the same goals and doing a good job and taking care of the customer. And I think if you can do that, that helps a lot.
Sure.
But that's my biggest challenge has been stepping away from running things and just training the employees to do a good job and helping them do a good job.
So the whole management point of view, I can totally relate to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's times when you essentially want perfection, and I guess perfection in air quotes, so to speak, right? Because maybe my idea of perfection is not necessarily someone else's. But in the end, the customer just wants the job done. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of the story. I was talking to an arborist. He was a client of ours through calls on call, and he told us that he had to quit being a client of ours. And I said, oh, that's crazy. Why are you quitting us? Because we're doing gangbusters for you, man. He's like, that's mm-hmm. the problem. I'm getting too much business from you guys. In the past 2 months, I grew over 40%. And I said, where's the problem, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, when customers call, they want me to be the one that answers the phone and the one that shows up to do this little tree work, whatever.
Sure.
And I said, you know what? I think you're wrong. Because you're not answering the phone all the time, right? So that's a thing, right? Getting the voicemail, not returning calls and stuff like that. Because he said he could self-regulate. When he was busy, he would not answer the phone and wouldn't return calls. And when he was not busy, he's available to answer the phone, so he would add to his schedule that way.
Sure.
And I'm like, that's a terrible way to run a business, right?
Yep.
Anyways, from his point of view, he was under the impression that customers wanted him to do whatever it is that he did with trees on the assumption that only he could do it.
Well, sure.
And I'm like, when I call up an arborist to do whatever, cut down a tree or do whatever, I don't care who shows up. I'm not going to be there. And as long as when I leave, or I should say when I come back from work, whatever it is that I ordered, the tree to be down or whatever, tree to be planted, that's taken care of.
It's not on top of the house.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, exactly. I'm cool. You're not the only person in the world that can do this. So maybe he could have done a better job, but my perception of better, I'm not an arborist, so I wouldn't know.
Sure, exactly. And you want to keep the customers happy, but you don't need to do too much to keep them happy.
Right.
Or overdo it.
Right.
Because then you're cutting into profitability.
Yeah.
So I'm like, find that balance.
Right. I said, buddy, you're, I don't know, he's 40-something. So I said, I get that you can climb trees now. It's fun. It's entertaining. You own a job. So that's fantastic, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can be happy with that. But eventually you're going to be 50 or 60, and you still want to be swinging from trees then? Because mm-hmm. now is the time to grow, not when you're too old to actually climb trees and you don't have a business.
Sure.
So it's trying to talk him in, like, perfection is not your game, right? On the verge of good enough or better than most is probably okay.
Yep.
Because the customers are happy. Name of the game, right?
And yep, exactly. We've always done a really good job installing vehicle wraps, and I've trained my employees to first do a really, really good job,
mm-hmm.
and then their first year of training, and then I try to convert them over into being more efficient installers after that.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that actually came back to bite me a little bit.
Oh, interesting.
Because, you know, as vehicle wraps and some of these jobs are getting more competitive, we need to do, like you said, a good enough job to keep everybody happy, but not to overdo it.
Right.
Because we still need to get this done in 4 hours, not 8 hours.
Right.
And we could do a really, really, really good job in 8 hours, but we could do a good enough job in 4 hours.
Right.
And that's going to affect our profitability and how we do on the jobs.
It's a law of diminishing returns, right?
Yep, exactly. So that was something that was, I think, tough for some of my installers to understand is, we've always done a really good job, but we've also got to run a business. We have to make money, and everybody wants to get paid.
Right.
So sometimes we just have to crank out the work and still do a good job and not have problems,
mm-hmm.
but not to go too overboard on it.
Right.
It depends on the situation, of course.
Well, there's going to be certain things that you guys will notice that other people wouldn't notice, that even if you take the extra hour or two to do that, no one in the world is going to know or care.
The competition's not doing it, or they're not doing it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And just through our efficiencies, too, we can do a better job in less time as well. So it's
Just
learning to be more efficient, I think, as well.
Yep. Yeah, name of the game. It's interesting.
Yep, but I had the same problem, letting the installers do the installs and stepping away from that. That was probably one of the first biggest steps for me.
Sure, I bet.
And especially that first year or so, but the guys learn fast. They do really good work. And now it's my challenge is actually having them back off a little bit so we can get more jobs
nice.
Done.
Okay.
So,
Dial it back.
But I think it's a good way to go is, worry about quality first. And then once you get that down, then work on speed and
mm-hmm.
becoming competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just have poor quality to begin with, that's not going to necessarily get you very far either.
Sure.
So it's finding that balance, I think, is important too.
Right. Interesting. So what have been some of your favorite things about owning a business?
I'd say the freedom and doing what I'd like to do, but that kind of has been a limiting factor, too, because in the last 10 years, there's been a lot of things that I wanted to do.
Just on a personal level or with your business?
On personal level, probably.
Okay.
Getting more vacations in or spending more time with family and friends
sure.
and kids,
Sure.
running your own business, you don't have a lot of free time in the long run. If
right,
you know, you're working a lot and trying to make sure everything's getting done.
Right. I joke with people that we build our own prison.
Yeah.
As entrepreneurs, right? We say we want freedom, and then we're just like, I'm going to set my hours here.
Yep.
And I give myself this paperwork. I don't outsource whatever, or I have to deal with employees and stuff like that. So I'm essentially building this prison that I'm stuck in, right? And yep. To get out of that is tough.
Yeah. Like, for example, Thanksgiving week, I plan to take the whole week off and not work too hard and work on some other parts of the business as well, getting our software going.
Yeah.
But then we had some demanding customers with just a bunch of jobs that came through, and they had to be done right away.
Sure.
Well, I had to cancel my vacation and rearrange a few things in our schedule to make sure we can take care of those customers.
Sure.
And everybody worked hard in the shop, and we got it all done. But then, you know, my time that I'd planned got sacrificed. And I think that's important, too, though, to have some of that time set aside for yourself to rejuvenate and get going again. So we're going to try it again here Christmas week.
Sure. See if I can get a week off. Sure. You're going to do it again,
I'm
right?
I'm going to do it this time, yeah.
That's awesome. Are you married?
Nope.
No, okay. Is there
single,
any... I'm sorry?
Just single with a young girl.
Okay.
My daughter.
Okay. And how old's the daughter?
She's 2 years and 4 months.
Oh, wow. Okay. So young. So you want to spend time with her?
Yeah. Yep. I make it a big point to spend time with her whenever I get a chance. And she is a priority over a lot of things here when I get to spend time with her. And
no, I totally get that. Yeah.
She's a delight and keeps me busy and on my toes.
Nice. Yeah. I got a son. He's almost five. And it's interesting how when you have a kid, it just changes your dynamic from a priority standpoint. Because before, you could work a little extra hour, go to some networking group or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, it's for the business growth kind of thing.
Yep.
But then when a kid gets involved, you're like, that kid's only going to be young for a given period of time. And by the time they reach being a teenager, they'll probably want me to stay at networking groups or stay at work later, right? Because they'll have that little hatred for dad. So you have a very finite level of time that you can spend with them. And it can't be all the time, so you have to, it forces you to find priorities.
Exactly.
Or define priorities.
Yep, and I think that's been a benefit of having a child as well. It forces you to slow down and spend more time with family. And my other family's nearby too. Her grandparents, my parents are just up the road. And one of my brothers is up the road from us too in DeForest. So
nice.
It's nice to slow down and spend time with family and not think about work at those times.
Right, right.
And then try to keep the work stuff during certain hours. But you know how that goes sometimes.
there's something, I was reading something about, I mean, some sales training, when they're talking about how you're always on. So even when you go out to the bar with your buddies or something like that, Friday, Saturday night, something like that, and they're all getting lit. Like, you just can't do that because you may end up seeing a customer or a potential customer or a potential employee or something like that. Sure. Plus, I guess I really don't drink that much, so it's a non-issue. But there's some buddies of mine where I'm just like, you own this business, and it's a smallish town. Sure. People are going to see you falling over drunk. That's gonna be seen as your business, right?
Oh, exactly.
So it's a tightrope to walk, I guess, in regards to that.
Yep. And now that I'm older in age, too, I don't recover as easily
no.
the next day either.
So there's something to be said
having to worry
that.
About work and kids the next day,
right.
I don't go out that much myself anymore either.
That's fair. Totally fair. So in regards to, I want to go back to talking about competition that you have.
Sure.
Because I know when I had my printer repair company, it was pretty cutthroat.
Sure.
I used to joke that it would be easier and safer to sell crack than it would be to deal with printer repair people. Because the competition was just on the verge of evil. I didn't know that when I got into the business.
Oh, okay.
I found that out.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is crazy. These are printers, right? Anyway, so what is your relationship with your competitors?
We have some competitors that we work with, so like we complement each other well. So they may sell larger jobs, and then we help them print and implement and do parts of those jobs that are tougher for them to do.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, we've got competition at a couple different levels. You know, we got some straight just vehicle wrap, you know, digital print companies.
Sure.
And they're getting more aggressive on price. And but we stick to our core values of doing a good job. We don't, you know, give too many price concessions. We try to price it so we're profitable, but we're not, you know, we're still competitive.
Right,
right. For the quality that we provide. I'd say we just try to stay competitive that way.
Sure. But it's not evil or anything like that.
No, I think overall our industry, everybody gets along pretty well. But there are certain companies that we, you know, we don't work with, and some that we do just because of how things have gone in the past.
Sure.
Or how aggressive they get on pricing. But
sure, sure.
I think overall it's a custom. A lot of what we do is custom, so the pricing can be all over the place.
Right.
But I think if you can create the trust and relationships with the customers, that's what brings them back more than pricing.
Sure, that's fair.
In the long run.
That's fair. So that business planning class I teach, we always talk about pricing because these are new business owners, or new potential business owners, I should say. And they're trying to figure out pricing, and they always talk about being low price because that's what they see commercially, the Amazons and the Walmarts of the world being very successful, chasing down a low price. And I always tell them, you never want to be the lowest price because then anyone else can come in and be lower than you. And if that's the only competitive advantage that you have, that's one that can be dissolved in a minute, in a moment.
Sure.
Right? So as a small business, you do not want that. Where bigger businesses based on volume and stuff like that, maybe they can do that. I don't necessarily know if that's something sustainable indefinitely because there can always be somebody cheaper, right?
Sure.
So I tell them, plus, you're going into this business because you have a passion for it of some kind, or you enjoy it, or you think you can make money at it, whatever it is. And if you're trying to be the lowest price, you're going to shave your margins there. And if you have a passion for it, you're going to try to be the perfectionist or try to do as best a job you can, have the greatest service, highest quality, and just can't be all that, right?
Nope, and I think you want to charge a fair price for the work that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're working this hard and always working, running your business, you know, you want to get paid for your time,
right,
too.
Right.
You just don't want to be working for nothing.
Right, and there has to be some return.
Yep, and I think when a lot of companies started getting in price wars and they're just getting the job to get the job,
right,
well, what are they accomplishing?
It's a race to the bottom.
Exactly. They either are working themselves out of work because they're not going to be able to pay their bills because they don't charge enough, or they're just, you know, fighting for the lowest price competitors, and, and a lot of companies I think can respect and understand, you know, quality and less problems. So if you deal with a company that has more experience and knows what they're doing, you're gonna have less headaches, less problems, which actually can save you money over the long run.
Oh, I bet a ton.
Then, you know, cost you money.
Sure, sure.
So sometimes spending a little bit more up front can save you money in the long term and not having to redo a whole project. So
I always joke, I say nobody gets a coupon for LASIK.
Yeah.
If someone's taking a laser to that close to your eye, do you really want the discount one?
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy. Let's downshift into some advice in regards to advice that you'd give someone that was considering starting their own business.
I'd say understanding your industry and having a good plan.
Okay.
You know, to get started.
You're talking like a business plan, something like that?
A good business plan and kind of a good idea of how you're going to go about things. You know, what what market you want to get into and how you're going to service that market. And what are your advantages and how are you that much better than your competitor?
Sure. That's fair. That's fair. If you could offer one bit of advice to the world, what would it be?
I think just taking more time to slow down and enjoy your family, your friends, and even you're taking more time to understand your coworkers and
that's
employees.
That's fair.
So that's fair.
I'm seeing a pattern here.
Yeah, that's something that I haven't been doing and I'm still working on.
Sure, that's fair. That's totally fair. Has that been something you've been working on recently, or has this been
Over the last probably couple years, especially since I've had my daughter. So.
Okay, sure, sure.
So it's just,
I totally understand.
I'm just otherwise you just get so focused on the business, on what you think that goal is,
right?
And you're not communicating that with other people, and and you actually maybe getting further away from them because you're not either talking to your employees or your family or whoever they're sharing with them what you're doing and learning what they're up to.
Sure. That's fair. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how do you see your business evolving in the next few years?
We're always trying to adapt and change to, you know, our competition and the markets available to us out there. So that's where we've been trying to change our vehicles. You know, we're trying to get more competitive on vehicle wraps, find ways to streamline that system so we can still compete and still do a good job and still maintain our market share there.
Sure.
But then we're looking at growing in other areas where there's a lot of films out there now to cover a variety of surfaces, whether it's windows, walls, floors, you know, wood furniture and cabinets. There's a whole variety of films out there now that we can use to transform these spaces without using paint, without using chemicals, or you can reuse wood that's in your trim wood or your cabinet doors. We can redecorate them with either wraps or these architectural films that give you a totally different look, an updated look without, you know, the cost or the environmental cost, you know,
sure,
throwing that stuff away.
Sure.
So there are a lot of films out there. We're more of a film company now than a printing company.
That's fair.
There's a
okay.
whole variety of films out there for all these different surfaces that you use in different unique ways. And
mm-hmm.
it's hard to explain them all in one shot.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, it's for covering all different surfaces these days. Rather than paint it, we can wrap it.
Sure. That's awesome.
Yep.
So how do you stay on top of all that?
It's just through, you know, requests from our customers, just staying on top of new products that come out there.
Okay.
What got us into window tinting was simply our customers asking about it.
Oh, really?
After
okay.
I had so many requests and said, well, this is something that we, you know, we probably can do.
Sure.
I checked into it and found out there was a market in Madison that needed to be filled for
sure.
3M, the 3M product for
mm-hmm.
window tinting.
Mm-hmm.
And then just started running with it from there. And
nice.
And it's just keeping your eyes open for those opportunities, making
sure.
a note of it, and then kind of making sure they're kind of developing over time. And then once you figure out there's a market there, then running with it. So.
Sure. So, you know, this just dawned on me before, I guess with the vehicle wraps, people are essentially bringing their vehicle to you,
mm-hmm.
where you have the control of your shop and all that jazz, tools and all that.
Yep.
Where the window stuff, you're having to go on site.
Yep, exactly that. And any of the environmental graphics, the interior wall wraps,
sure.
floor wraps, window graphics, a lot of that stuff's all done on the road. And,
sure.
And we've, you know, that's been a good chunk of our business is working on the road as well. And
okay.
In the many years I worked for my dad's company, I spent quite a few years working on the road, installing the signs.
Okay. So it wasn't
that
big of a shift.
No, it was something for Mad Wraps. It was something that we did, but in my previous job, it was something I did a lot of. So
okay.
getting into the interior signs, and it's just kind of something that we're bringing back.
Okay.
Two Mad Wraps that we had at our other company.
Gotcha.
So
getting a truck or a van equipped and all that kind of stuff, there wasn't a huge learning curve for that.
No, a lot of what we do is inside, or it's easier to reach stuff. So
mm-hmm.
then if we need a lift or something like that, we can rent a lift and not
sure.
have to pay for a crane truck every month.
Gotcha.
That adds up quite a bit too.
Sure.
Now, and the insurance for that.
Sure. Interesting. So I guess downshifting into business as a whole, is your business now where you expected it to be 10 years ago?
Yeah, I'd say we're heading in that direction.
Okay.
You know, you always want things to grow a little faster, but then
right.
there's the other edge of that sword, or you grow too fast,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden you don't have the work there to keep everybody busy.
Right.
That's another challenge, but yeah, I'd say we're moving along pretty well, and I can see the next couple of years here expanding quite a bit here.
Sure.
Which will force me to get out there and sell more, probably add a salesman.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have a good team of experts that work for us now.
Mm-hmm.
And now we just need to add more people that can help continue to do the work and,
sure.
and grow the business.
Sure.
So it's just a matter of adding some salespeople and some people that can do the work. And
mm-hmm.
then I think it'll grow from there as we do a really strong sales push and
sure.
really get our name out there. And we've kind of created our niche now. And now we need to just kind of really concentrate on that niche and let everybody know what we do.
Okay, okay. Where are you guys located at?
We're on the east side of Madison, off of Flom Road and Highway 51.
Okay, the industrial park back there?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, and then in about a year, we'll be moving north of Madison into Windsor.
Oh, really?
Kind of behind Settlers Bank.
Okay.
And by Highway 19 and Highway 51. So
mm-hmm.
hopefully next summer, next fall, we'll be moving into a new place with
oh,
more
nice.
Space.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah, we've really outgrown our current space. It's more of a warehouse with some office space.
Sure.
And we've gotten our use out of that and kind of are working on top of each other in there right now. So we need
yeah.
a nicer office space, better space for the customer to come in and interact and
sure.
see what we do and plan out their job. And then also a larger shop to cater to more vehicles.
Sure.
And more printing space and larger printers.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
So just expand, grow. That's awesome.
That's what we're trying to do. Yep. Not grow too fast, but
sure.
I think now is a key time where we can really add on some clients and,
mm-hmm.
and a few employees and,
mm-hmm.
and kind of jump to that next level.
So location-wise, did you choose that location just because of land cost or proximity to interstate or?
Well, a little bit of both. We wanted to get outside of Madison a little bit because we want to draw on more customers from the Dells and outlying
mm-hmm.
areas. The Dells is another market we want to get into.
Sure.
That we can draw, you know, from Middleton and around Madison and
sure.
deal with some of the Beltline and
right.
and traffic issues there.
Right.
A lot of the employees live north of town or just outside of town, so it'll be
sure.
easier for everybody. But
sure.
Getting into a new building and having a place built kind of specifically for us, it worked out well being in this area that's also a growing area. You know, it's
yeah.
really expanding
oh, yeah.
up there. There's a lot of businesses going in, so I think we're pretty centrally located for
mm-hmm.
a lot of businesses that are growing up over there and for companies to get it to us via the interstate or highways that are all intersect there.
Yeah, there's buildings going up all over the place there. There's apartment buildings. There's the Fleet Farm. There's
Fleet Farm. All that stuff. There's a whole industrial park back behind there that's growing.
Oh, that's awesome.
A lot of businesses going in there, too.
And this is one that you're building, you said.
Yeah, we're working with a developer, so we're going to rent from a developer in there.
Gotcha.
We're kind of the main tenant, so we get to build out our space kind of the way we want.
Okay, well, that's cool.
Which will be nice, yeah.
So you can design it exactly how you want. And
yep, and he's building a bigger building, so then over time, if we need room to grow, we've got other bays and room to grow into. So if we bought our own building, the challenge is then what are you going to do when you want to grow? You buy a lot that's so big. And
right.
You know, you need to keep growing somehow. And I was looking into our own building, but that got pretty limiting and into, you know, what we could do in the future. We're working with a developer that has more space. It kind of worked out better that way. And then you can see what happens in 5 years and and go from there.
That's awesome.
More options, more opportunity.
Right. So I want to downshift back into relaxing thing. So what would you do in regards to relaxing? What do you do for fun? You spend time with your kid, right?
Yeah, we like to camp and hike and spend time on the water. We're doing a lot of kayaking and paddleboarding.
Okay. Sure.
Fishing is a big passion of mine. So I think hopefully soon we'll be out ice fishing.
Oh,
no.
I was just joking with my son. I'm like, because he saw some ducks sitting on the ice. And he's like, oh, can we walk out there?
Oh, yeah.
No. No.
Just about in some areas.
Yeah, right, it's right. We're getting there. We're getting there. Not quite.
But, yeah, just spending time with family and being outdoors. I think that's a lot of things that we like to do, camping and hiking and
very cool.
Stuff like that.
So winter doesn't necessarily bug you?
No. No, we like to get outside and snowshoe and ski and whatnot. So
very cool.
See if I get my daughter into spending more time outdoors, and she loves it being outside.
That's awesome.
So,
Do you have do you read at all in regards to books or anything like that?
Somewhat. I read a lot of online kind of magazines and articles relating to, you know, what I like to do, whether it's fishing or hunting or work-related stuff.
Okay.
And some books online or you know, e-books I've been reading more and more. So.
Do you have a favorite?
Can't think of the name right now. There's a couple. I've read a couple of good sales books lately.
Okay.
I can't think of the name of the one right
now. All right. We'll include a link when you when you remember. So we only have a little bit left here. Do you have a favorite customer story that's kind of been with you for the past few years?
We've got a larger customer, Zebra Dog, that we get into a lot of unique projects with. So they kind of design and develop high-end interiors and help tell the story of a lot of these different businesses. So one of the companies they were working with was Leinenkugel's brewery up in Chippewa Falls. So we got to help redo the brewery tour
Two
springs ago.
Sure.
So they went in and helped design a whole package of graphics that show you kind of what's going on throughout the brewery tour as you're walking through the brewery, and then several signs and displays that are interactive. That you can, you know, see what's going on. And some of them, they even do a lot of software and interactive kind of kiosks.
Oh, very cool.
But what we got to help out with there was redoing the graphics on the brewery tour.
Sure.
And there was one place in the warehouse where they wouldn't let them use paint. So there was no paint allowed. It all had to be done with vinyl or graphics or stainless steel pretty much for the signage. So we had a huge wall that was 30 feet by probably 40 feet or 50 feet long.
Holy cow.
They wanted it red. It was in the warehouse. It was in the back end of the brewery tour. They bring everybody through, and they had some boards and displays they wanted to put up over that. So it was a corrugated siding wall on the inside of the warehouse, and we did it all in just wrapping it in red vinyl. There was no smell, no paint, no mess. We just took sheets of vinyl and wrapped that whole wall.
But it was on corrugated metal.
Yep, corrugated metal.
Well, that didn't take forever.
Yep, so it took a while, but it was easier than painting it. You didn't have the mess or the smell, and it worked within their parameters. So
holy cow.
So you see a lot of that where you think something would be painted, and now we can just wrap it with a film. And it's just as durable or more durable.
That is so cool.
Yep.
Do you have a favorite project that you've worked on?
There's a lot of good projects out there. We just, one new one we just did, which I really liked, was helping Zebra Dog out again at the Sylvie, the new concert hall in Madison. And every single bathroom stall in the men's and women's bathrooms, the stall door is wrapped with a backstage pass from a previous band that had been through Madison.
Nice.
So they took several backstage passes and blew them up to, you know, a large size, and we covered each stall door with a different artist.
So
that was kind of a fun, neat project we worked on recently. Along with the face on the outside of the building. So the face on the outside of the building on the glass kind of looks like Marilyn Monroe, but that is Frank Productions, the the person that owns it, that's his wife. So she had passed away.
Sure.
And they showed him the picture of his wife that they're going to put on that building, the silhouette of her face, which is kind of Marilyn Monroe looking.
Yeah.
And he just started breaking down in tears after seeing her face. And then we ended up putting that up on the building there. So it's just neat to be involved in you know, a project like that.
Sure. Yeah, that is a cool, that's a cool building.
Yeah.
So I could like the sky's the limit in regards to what you guys can do then with vinyl and
yeah,
the
really
films and stuff like
up
that.
Up to the designer's imagination, and we can figure out a way to make it work.
Sure. That is awesome. Cool. Well, Chris, thanks for stopping by. This has been awesome.
Great. Thank you.
Just so that the audience knows, you have a website, I imagine.
Yes. That is madwrapsllc.com.
Okay. So it's madwrapsllc.com.
You got it.
Awesome. And then how about a phone number?
Sure. Our phone number is 608-772-8433.
Awesome.
And actually, the shop number is 608-441-9727.
Nice. And tell them to ask for Chris, the boss,
there
right?
There you go.
Get stuff done. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kateman, business coach at Draw & Customers Business Coaching, co-owner of Calls on Call Shared Receptionist Services, and author of the Bold Business Book, available on Amazon. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Chris Emden, owner, of Mad Wraps. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link. Found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.